Today on our wisdom journey through God's Word, we stop in Psalms 13 through 15. In this section, we find some great but little-known truths about prayer. You're also going to discover two crucial but contrasting truths about life. You'll see the desperate corruption of sin and the redeeming grace of God by which you can walk blamelessly before Him. This is an important lesson today, and Stephen Davey has called it Courses on Prayer and Human Nature.
You could call Psalm 13 a lesson on basic prayer 101. Now, it's an important course for every believer who often finds themselves attending what we would call today the school of hard knocks. Well, here as class opens, David prays in verse 1, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Now, that sounds more like a complaint than a prayer, doesn't it? Well, it is. And David goes on to complain that God is often late for class or possibly hiding from him, which only causes David greater suffering. This kind of praying, by the way, is for real. And honestly, haven't you felt the same way with God at times? Aren't you glad the Psalms include this kind of complaining? How long, O Lord, are you going to forget about me forever? Well, does God respond to David by sending a bolt of lightning here? Well, not at all. In fact, the Lord patiently allows David to give him all the reasons why he's feeling this way. We tend to think that God isn't capable of handling our tough questions, our raw emotions. We tend to think that God's going to get his feelings hurt if we're not smiling every time we get on our knees in prayer. Beloved, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, I want you to keep in mind that God already knows your complaints coming. In fact, he knows the worst about you. After all, he knew you before he saved you. So there might be times when you're upset and angry and disappointed with God, as David is here, but God can take it. He can handle it. Well, here David feels like God has forgotten about him. This is a wrong assumption. God has not forgotten David. God's been following along with David, even though this rather dark and troubling time has come into David's life. Now, David goes on here to give a really good reason why God ought to show up and why God ought to act on his behalf. Here in verse 3, David says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God." Now, essentially, he's saying here, "Lord, remember, I belong to you. You are my God." That's a good reminder, isn't it, to our own heart. So after pouring out his heart in prayer, David experiences what you and I often have as well, and that's a reassurance of the promises and the faithfulness of God. So David closes this particular song by writing here in verses 5 and 6, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord." Now, with that, we move out of the classroom we've called Prayer 101 here in Psalm 13. And we're going to actually change to another classroom here in Psalm 14. And we could call this course Basic Humanity 101. And I got to tell you, it isn't a pretty sight. The defiance of the human heart against God, frankly, hasn't changed over the course of human history. And David writes about it here in verse 1, and he says it this way, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." In other words, the fool says, God is only a figment of your imagination. There's no such deity. God doesn't even exist. If you go back to the end of the 19th century, one man carried this idea to the masses in Europe. His name was Friedrich Nietzsche. He was born into the family of a pastor, a Protestant minister. But his father died while he was still young, and by the time he was 12, he had rejected the faith of his parents. He would go on to blasphemously redefine the Trinity as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Devil, if you can imagine that. This was his sort of his first step into a lifetime of defiance. His writings validated violence and oppression, and his philosophy would impact culture for several generations. His most famous book, entitled The Antichrist, actually called for people to defy God. Nietzsche would refer to Christianity as the one great curse, the one immoral blemish of mankind. And he would repeat over and over, God is dead, God is dead, God is dead. In other words, we need to put to death any notion of a living God. Well, let me tell you, Nietzsche died tragically, literally insane. He stands to this day as one more illustration of Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Nietzsche learned too late that God is real. God is very much alive. Now, back to this course on basic humanity where David writes with prophetic insight, verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. Well, what does the Lord see? They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There's none who does good, not even one. That may sound familiar because the Apostle Paul quotes this verse in Romans chapter 3 and verse 12 as he describes the human race. In fact, this same text will be quoted again in Psalm 53. It's as if God wants to make sure we get it. So he's going to repeat it three times in the Bible. Here is basic humanity 101. All of humanity is corrupt. All of humanity is born sinful. There is none who does good. In fact, the Hebrew word for corrupt here in verse 3 literally means tainted. It refers to what is impure. The other day, I pulled some leftover barbecue out of the fridge. I was going to make a sandwich, and my wife saw me and said, oh, no, honey, don't use that meat. It's tainted. I should have thrown it out days ago. Well, it would have made me sick. Why? It was corrupted. It was ruined. We can call it tainted. Well, that's the human heart. Even when we do something good, it's tainted with self-interest, self-congratulation, self-promotion. Even the good that we do is tainted with sin. How we need a Savior who can forgive us. Why? Because to the very core, we're corrupted, we're ruined, we're tainted. By the way, when you come to the Savior, He forgives you and He imputes His righteousness to your account. You're bankrupt, He's wealthy, and He changes the name on your account, pays for your sin, covers your bankruptcy, and gives you the wealth of His righteousness. Now, here in Psalm chapter 15, David reinforces that relationship that we ought to have with our Lord. And he's going to ask two parallel questions here and then give us the answer. The questions are here in verse 1. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? Well, the words for hill and tent here refer to the literal tabernacle, which included the Holy of Holies with God's presence flaming over it in that pillar of fire. Who can reside in the Lord's tent? You see, David is asking, who could ever be invited as a guest into the house of God? So David answers the question here in verse 2. He who walks blamelessly and does what is right. Now, a person here who gets that invitation isn't a perfect person. A godly person in the Bible is one who pursues a God-like lifestyle. And when godly people sin, they're going to confess their sin. They're going to turn to God. They're going to start walking with Him again. In fact, David describes the godly person here as someone who doesn't slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, verse 3. He does not take a bribe against the innocent, verse 5. In other words, a godly person has godly speech, has godly conduct that relates to all of his personal relationships. In a very real sense here, David is saying the person who is an invited guest into the house of God, into the presence of God, is someone who wants to be a guest in the house of God. He doesn't force anybody in there. Now, beloved, I know a lot of people who'd never want to be a guest in the house of God. They don't want to be in His presence. The question we got to answer is this. Do you want to be an invited guest? Well, that's the question for today. Are you living in Psalm 14, saying in your heart and living with your life in such a way that says, there's no God, God doesn't exist? Or do you want to live here in Psalm 15, where your priority in life is not only believing that God exists, but also desiring God's involvement in every part of your life? God has invited you to live in His house. The question is, are you inviting Him to live in yours? Well, until our next wisdom journey together, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Stephen Davey called today's lesson Courses on Prayer and Human Nature. When we return with our next lesson, Stephen will continue through the book of Psalms and then the rest of God's Word. It would really help our ministry if you'd leave a rating or review on your podcast app. That indicates that you appreciate our lessons, and it moves us higher in the search results so that more people can find us. Please do that. Then join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.